Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Matt. I'm a pastor here. I love getting up after a list like that is read, saying I have good news for you today, but just wait. I'm glad that you're here today. If you are new with us, we want to welcome you and also invite you to take an event card that you can find in the pews in front of you, as well as fill out a Connect card and drop that in the offering later or in the info room. That's a way to just take a step so that we can follow up with you and show you that this is a place you belong, and we can't wait to do that. Now, if you've been coming for a few weeks, you may be wondering, do they have a different person preaching every week here? And just to, you know, introduce the idea to some of you who are new, our lead pastor, the founder of the church, Tyler Jones, is on a ministry sabbatical. This is something we have in our bylaws, that staff pastors take a sabbatical every 7 years. It's just it's a gift. It's a time of health and renewal. And there's actually a video that Tyler made on vintagenc.com. It's in our blog section, and you can go there if you want to find out more about why we do sabbatical and what that means. But that's why we're up here, and I'm glad to be here with you today. During May, we are studying the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is in the New Testament of your Bible. If you want to open up one of the ones that you see in front of you, there's a bookmark to where we will be. Also, if you need a Bible, we would love for you to take that one with you. That is a gift for you. This is a letter written by Timothy by Paul to a young man named Timothy. Paul, at the time, is believed to be in prison. This is a time of great persecution for the church. He's nearing the end of his life, and he is writing down some thoughts for Timothy. Now, unlike some of the letters to the churches, like the book of Ephesians is a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. This is a letter to an individual. So it's just one person writing another person. For this reason, this week I spent a lot of time reading it over and over again from a Bible I have that does not have any headings or numbers or footnotes or anything. It's just the words. And I'm not against footnotes and headers, but this was a good practice for me because it reminded me that before it ended up in the Bible, this is a letter just written from a friend to a friend, a warm, caring letter. There's even stuff at the end that's like, hey, don't forget my parchments. You know, I mean, he's giving him some news on people. And so it is a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of caring and of kindness from Paul to Timothy. And as he writes this, he's in a place naturally to look back on his life. He's looking back on his life. Timothy is somebody he has poured into. Timothy is now a young pastor, and this letter is just pure encouragement. He hasn't done anything wrong. He just loves him. And you can sum up Paul's letter to Timothy with this: Timothy, just please live your life. Don't settle. Your future is secure. You're going to be in heaven because of what Jesus has done for you, but live in the here and now. Don't settle. So that's what we're going to look at today in this passage from the letter from Paul to Timothy. As we jump in, would you please pray with me? God, thank you for each person in this room, whether it's their first time here or they've been here for many years. God, we all bring so much to these gatherings. Some of us bring weight. Some of us bring joy. Some of us bring anger. Some of us bring great doubt or questions. God, thank you for meeting us in this, and that this letter written all those years ago, God, that we would be able to hopefully find in this a glimpse of your grace and your love for us. Thank you that when we bring religion and legalism and us trying to earn our way, God, you respond with grace and you say, no, it's just what I've done for you. Today is a beautiful invitation, and I pray that we would see that and receive that by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, my family and I went up to Virginia. It was my dad's birthday, so we all gathered together, and my nephew was there, and he just finished up his first year of college. And he's got a good head on his shoulder. He's a good kid. But I just found myself, you know, just longing to give him advice, and probably just longing to give him advice that I wish that I could give myself at that age. You know, like, don't be an idiot. But all of it could kind of be settled down, could kind of be summed up as, don't settle. Don't settle for that cheap relationship. Don't settle for that job. Don't settle for people telling you who you are, you know? Live your life. And so I resonate with Paul telling Timothy, live your life fully. And this is continued from Jesus himself. He said, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. And so Paul's saying, listen up. With all you have, live your life. Now, with the scripture that was just read on the screens, did you get that? Did it sound like live your life to you? Because to me, that's not what I heard at first. So we might have to do a little digging. Go with me here. Where it starts is Paul saying, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That doesn't sound like, go live your life. Have an adventure. That doesn't sound like an adventurous, exciting life that we dream about. That to me sounds a little bit like, get your act together. And when you do, God's got some work for you. Some religious, boring work. Now, the passage that we read today has a lot of good and bad, honorable, dishonorable, right? Here's what you do, here's what you don't do. And a lot of times, we may have the tendency to read that as, okay, well, he's talking about followers of Jesus. This is the good side, right? And the people who don't follow Jesus outside of the church, this is the bad side. So here's what you do. Be like a follower of Jesus. Here's what you don't do. Be like, don't do like those people. But here's the thing. This is a letter to Timothy, a young pastor, a follower of Jesus. And everything we read today, I want to put a blanket on it, is about the church. It's to the church. Everything we read is to the church. And so what he's saying to Timothy and to us, church, is live your life. Don't settle. And when I see this message and when I read this advice and when I see how he lays that out, I realize that I settle. And I know and love many of you enough to know we settle. And here's how we settle. We look to God for salvation, but to the world to fulfill us. We look to God for salvation, but to the world to fulfill us. We look to God for salvation. We've settled for believing that God's entire purpose, his whole plan, the creator of all things, his whole thing is just get these people into heaven, right? Just get them in there. Now, he did come that we would be saved. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Yes. But we treat it like Jesus is a fireman running into a burning building, trying to get as many people out as he can before the whole thing collapses. Which means when we have this view of the gospel, it's just our individual salvation. That means the here and now doesn't matter. Right? That means that once you believed in Jesus, once you're heaven-bound with certainty, the rest doesn't matter. All those verses about caring for the poor, the orphans, the widows, the aliens, the sojourners, the foreigners, it doesn't matter if that's our view of the gospel. If you've been here for a few years, we had a man named Leonce Crump. He's a pastor. He's a speaker. Come several times, and he really drove this home. This is a quote from him. The gospel has been allowed to be turned into a message of personal salvation without any societal implications. The gospel is now about me getting off the planet versus seeing God renew all things. But that doesn't line up with Scripture, this view. Because read the Gospel of Matthew. It is about the kingdom of heaven. It is about the kingdom of God that Jesus has ushered into this world. And we see that proclaimed by Jesus, but also he's meeting physical needs. He's giving a picture of God's kingdom that will reign forever in the here and now. And so God's kingdom, his plan is not only to save people from sin and death, but to usher in a redemption of the fallen nature of this world. And that gospel and that kingdom, that has a message That has a message to speak into our here and now. That gospel speaks to illness and racism and hatred and white supremacy and privilege and on and on. So we've settled if we believe that the gospel is only about me and my individual salvation. And if God only cares about getting us into heaven, then the scriptures seem boring and unrelated to our life here and now. And certainly, I don't know how that plays into Jesus saying, I want you to have a full life here and now. But that's how many of us read the passage today. That's the lens through which I read it. But do you remember what Jesus said when he went to the first people and to be his disciples? He goes to them and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, follow me, I'll keep you out of hell. Or follow me, and I'll give you all that you wish for. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll show you what you were made for. I'll show you the kingdom that is going to reverse and show this world what God initially intended. I'm going to let you speak into that and lead that and bring that to the people. So we've settled if we look to God for salvation only. And we're selling him short because he's got so much more for us. And then naturally, if we grab our ticket to heaven, thanks, and then we're looking around for what do I do now, well, then we look to the world around us for fulfillment. So again, I want to be clear. Paul is speaking here with everything we read to followers of Jesus. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to those who have been baptized. He's speaking to those who are leaders in the church. He's speaking to the daughters and sons of the good Father in heaven. And in this part, he looks at them and he says, you're settling. Now, that should cause some of us to bristle. Who's settling? Man, I'm hustling. I'm going after this life. I am going after everything for travel and for adventure. I'm working really hard at my job. I'm taking criticism. I'm growing in my weaknesses. I'm standing up and speaking out against injustice. If you're a parent, settling. Have you seen my Instagram account? In 1 week, I post more pictures than my grandparents ever dreamed they would have relationally with their kids. I play with my kids more in the hour before work than they did like all year, right? We are crushing it as a society here. The reason that this is settling is not because these are bad things and not because us going after life is a bad thing. We're settling because we're seeking our fulfillment, our peace, and our satisfaction in the things of this world, the things that cannot bring satisfaction. We were designed in such a way that our hearts and our souls can only be filled by this relationship with God, by this renewal. And also, God has designed us in a way that we are to carry out his plan that is more than just satisfying ourselves. The gospel means good news. That's what that means. And Paul begins his letter. Ted preached on this 2 weeks ago if you were here. In 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, look what he says. God saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God saved us and gave us a holy calling. We have a holy calling through Jesus, this Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality. What is impossible for him? Nothing. He's done it. And that's who's given us a holy calling. And so we're meant to look for God not only for our salvation, but for our purpose, our fulfillment, our mission in life. And instead, Paul is saying, you, church, are looking for salvation to God. You're looking to God for salvation, but you're also then looking for fulfillment elsewhere. Stop settling. That's the key for today's passage. And so I wanted to begin by framing that problem. It's my problem. And so we're going to open it up now, and yes, I'm aware of time. We're going to open up the passage, and the key points is Paul is not telling us how to be saved, how to become a Christian. That's what Jesus does for us. Paul's talking to the church about how we live our lives. Okay, so let's look at this. Here we go. 2 Timothy, again, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable." This is the church. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." So the goal, Timothy, Paul says, is to be a vessel for honorable use by the master of the house, by God, for every good work. Okay, so that raises some questions. What do you mean by dishonorable? And how do we cleanse ourselves from that? And what are these good works that God will use us for? And so if Paul, who loves Timothy, is saying, I'm laying it out for you, Timothy. This is how you live your life. This is where the full life that Jesus talked about comes from. And here's how you do it. First, this is how you cleanse yourself from dishonorable. He goes on to say, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness." So Timothy, flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now here, youthful passions, what's that? How do we flee youthful passions? In the verses that follow, in the sentences that follow, that's where he lays it out. And so the youthful passions here are foolish, ignorant controversies that breed quarrels, being unkind, being impatient, correcting others just to win. That's what he's saying. Avoid these things. Now, this is important. Why? Why not do those things? Okay? Remember, Paul's not saying, Timothy, this is how you get into heaven. He's like, Timothy, you're secured. You're a pastor. You're my pride and joy. So you flee these things not to gain God's favor because you already have it, but he's saying, flee these things because the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. He's saying a follower of Christ is kind and gentle and patient and caring, not merely for our own sake. We don't flee these things to be kind and gentle and caring for our own sake. You see, each person we encounter is an image bearer of God, just like you and I. And so Paul's saying, Timothy, are you unable to comprehend or tolerate another person's point of view without just slamming them because you're so intent on winning? Are you harsh towards others? Are you short with them or cold with them? Do you gossip? Do you slander? Paul says, that's youthful arrogance. Flee from that. Flee from that because it matters. Each person is an image bearer just like you and I. So your behavior, Paul says, matters because you've got a job to do in loving other people. Be kind to everyone. I did some study this week, and if you go to the Greek for everyone, it actually means everyone. And look at the reason why. This is why he tells Timothy to do all these things. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, these are the opponents that he talked about. So these are the people that, I don't have time to get into being in the snare of the devil because I'm aware of time, but if you want to talk about that, I'd be glad to. I'll be up front afterwards. But the point for today is that God's reason for Timothy to be kind and gentle is for the sake of the people around him who do not know Jesus. Be kind and gentle for the sake of those who do not know Jesus. That's what's important here. Timothy, it matters. And it matters not because it's about you. It matters because it's about them. The heart of God is for his children, both lost and found. This means if you stand up for the truth and the gospel with arrogance, If you stand up without love for those who are opposing you, you've missed the message of the gospel. It's not a doctrine, it's good news. It's news that we get to share with all the world of our Savior. And we don't need to imply that Paul or that God doesn't care about you if you're a follower, again. Because look, here's what it means. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's given us all we need through Jesus. Salvation, forgiveness, the promise of sanctification, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, the Word of God that the Holy Spirit helps you interpret. He's given you gifts. He's given you a church family. He's prepared you to do every good work, it says, life-changing work. And so he's saying that's why you flee from the youthful passions. God cares about you. He has equipped you. He's got the most exciting life for you ready. And so we've got work to do. And these youthful passions, that arrogance is keeping you from doing it. The life of following Jesus means you look to God for your salvation and for your fulfillment, which is carrying out the mission that you were designed for. Paul knows not everybody's going to do that. And so he goes to warn Timothy of what's coming for the church. Again, as we read this next part, he's talking about the church. All of these descriptions are people in the church, okay? But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Timothy, avoid such people. This is a footnote. Before what we read, Paul says, Timothy, be kind, be gentle, be caring, be patient towards your opponents, towards these people who don't know Jesus, because I really want them to know Jesus. And here, he says, these people in the church who are acting this way, man, avoid them. And how often do we, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, switch that behavior? Demanding that someone who doesn't know Jesus follow some moral code or live up to some standard that we have, or else we shame them and shun them and avoid them, and what we allow to take place in the churches. Now, I'm aware of time. That's for me as much as it is for you. So we're not going through that list of all those descriptions. Huge sigh of relief. Whew. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the misdirected love, because that's all throughout that passage. And so we drew it out. Here's a list. Lovers of self. Now, Paul's not talking about a healthy love of self that comes from, I know I'm an image bearer of God. You know, this is a self-centeredness. Lovers of money, their love is not to do good, and they love pleasure rather than loving God. All of those descriptions, this is Paul's longest list, by the way. All of those descriptions in there are the result of misdirected love. And so if your love is misdirected, starting with lovers of self above lovers of God and lovers of your neighbor, then the result is just corrupt, broken relationships. And your heart is misguided. And so instead of us being on mission with God to love everyone around us in kindness and making the surrounding world that we live in reflect his kingdom, when you insist on making it about yourself, then everything just centers on you, right? And so this is the question for us today, where our heart is directed. Our theme for this year, the whole year, is love God, love your neighbor. And it's interesting that Paul, when he is in this separate letter from Jesus saying that, love God, love your neighbor, that Paul is saying, hey, here's when the church is corrupt, here's what happens. And the result is that they're not loving God and loving their neighbor, but instead loving themselves. And the result of that at the end, before he says avoid such people, what he said was, They have the appearance of godliness, but lacking, but lacking its power. Having the appearance of godliness, but lacking its power, or but denying its power. And I think I resonate with this concept, and for years have resonated with this concept. Because our faith maybe doesn't feel as vibrant as it once was. Your passion can grow dim. Spending time in scripture or serving others or worshiping through singing or praying can all feel like duty rather than the joyful praise of God. And I think that's because we've settled for getting that ticket to heaven and then looking around us for fulfillment. And after a while, we're thankful to have that ticket to heaven, but we're missing out on the vibrant, full life that Jesus calls us to. Now, am I saying we're not Christians? No. Paul's talking to the church. But we're missing out on life. And this can look a myriad of ways. We numb ourselves. We avoid. We distract. We look for just lifting ourselves up, our self-image. We can fill our time with anything just to not have to face the deep things of our heart. And over a while, we grow distant from God, but here's the thing, we have the appearance of godliness, meaning, I mean, we're still coming to church, we're still coming to community group, right? We're still serving, but we're denying its power. We don't feel this power of God in our lives anymore. And this passage today should be such good news. Look through the list, look beyond the list, look at the heart of Paul as he's talking to this young man, Timothy, and he's saying, don't just look to God for salvation, but look to God for your fulfillment. Timothy, the life is waiting for you. Because when God calls us to flee something, it's for our good and the good of the world around us. So I want to conclude this way. I want to be very clear that we're talking not about salvation. If you're a follower of Christ, that is based on what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the guarantee of that. But what we're talking about is God inviting you to something. It's not an obligation. This is an invitation. Being a disciple of Jesus, what he's laying out here, this full life, that's not an obligation. That's his invitation. And so the longing that we have for adventure, some for safety or comfort or pleasure, relationships or acceptance, Jesus says, I know. I made you. I know who you are. I know how you are wired. And so we have to see that Paul's invitation to Timothy and Scripture's invitation to us is for a life that will fulfill those things. Maybe not in the way that we would dictate, but there is a full life waiting for us. If this is just a club of people waiting to get into heaven, I got better things to do, y'all. I mean, I'll see you there, but there are other things I could be doing. Because we should go to God and go, you saved us? Now what? And he said, there's more. God wants you to live in his kingdom. He wants you to find that purpose and that joy and that fulfillment through your relationship with him, but also with others. And so the world around us is flailing, but we have hope. We're to live in freedom, showing the world what true joy looks like. We are to show the world that God's people will not stand idly by, will no longer stand idly by in the face of oppression or silence or abuse or neglect. We are to use all he's given us, our resources, our privilege, our time, our gifts, to tell everyone about Jesus and to show them the redemption he brings about in his kingdom. He has saved us and given us a holy calling. That's our message. And we have the chance to change the social and the economic fabric of the city through our generosity, our innovation, our justice, our creativity, our business acumen, and we can bring about a beauty and a redemption. Will it look like all of eternity? No. It won't until Jesus returns. But that is the mission that we have. That is the calling that we have. And that is the full gospel that Paul is calling Timothy to. And that if I could go back to my younger self, I would be calling me to. And that God today is calling all of us to. God's kingdom is beautiful. We've got the message. Let's not settle for just waiting. Let's not settle. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for your persistence. Your Holy Spirit and your word is so persistent. It is persistent to not allow us to just waste our lives. God, you care about us. You save us. That is clear, and we praise you for that. But then your Spirit just keeps calling us out of darkness, keeps calling us out of complacency, and saying, you are the ones, church. You are the ones to stand up and to fight injustice. You are the ones to make the difference. You are the ones to change the city that you live in. And God, I pray that we would hear that and not hear that as a duty, but that we would hear that as this fulfilling that we've been looking for, that we've been searching for in so many cheap ways. God, we are thankful for family and community and all those things, but we know that all of those things are to be used for your glory and to show this dying world around us, this flailing world, the hope that is found in you. May we take that seriously, even in this moment. And thank you, Jesus, that we have such a powerful message in you. Amen.